Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
You're about to listen to Bananas for Bonanza, Episode 10. This is Andy Daly. Hello! Here on this free feed, I'll be re-releasing all of the back episodes of Bananas for Bonanza, one every other week. If you want to hear new episodes ad-free, please subscribe to my Patreon at patreon.com/AndyDaly. The entire Bananas for Bonanza archive is also waiting for you there, and you can access lots and lots of bonus content. So do that. Okay, thank you. Enjoy!
Yeah! Bonanza, it's the finest show alive. So consult your TV guide, get your great outdoors inside. Take some Ponderosa pride and forever may it ride. I'm Bonanza.
All right, you ready? Here we go. What was that?
The sizzling of a cyanide capsule.
What the hell? Did you just take one? Oh, no, thank God.
No, instead of shooting guns this time, I'm out of guns.
Are you, because normally, folks, if you're just listening to this for the first time, that's a bad move. But I started off with a yeehaw, and then Mutt Taylor typically shoots a gun or a crossbow or some other weapon. And this time, did you bite down on a cyanide capsule?
I just stepped on it.
Oh, you stepped on a cyanide.
Yeah, and so the fumes right now are a little alarming. I'm just going to open the back of my trailer here.
Yep. Mutt, as always, recording from his truck out there. What do you get? You're an 18-wheeler, tractor trailer.
Yeah, Peterbilt.
Okay, folks. Hey, I'm going to say the thing I say at the beginning of every one of these episodes. Actually, that's part of it now. At the beginning of every one of these episodes, I say, I'm going to say the thing I say at the beginning of every one of these episodes. And then I go on to say, hello, friend. Come on in. The gate is open wide. And welcome to episode 10 and 8 of Bananas for Bonanza. If you are Bananas for the television show Bonanza, you're in the right place. And if you're not, get the hell out. Each episode of this podcast, we talk about an episode of the classic and short-lived TV Western series Bonanza, which only aired from 1959 to 1973, but it lives on in the hearts of every decent American. And today we're going to be discussing season 1, episode 10, The Magnificent Otta. And we got some decent Americans here to help us out to do it. And so you already said hello to Mutt Taylor. And we are also joined, as always, by Amy Sleverson. Hello, Amy.
Hello. I'm so excited to talk about this episode, because it's so biblical in its shape, and then it gave me some more ideas for multi-level marketing sales pushes.
What was the last word you said? Sales what?
Pushes.
Oh, pushes. Push. I thought you said push. I thought you said cushions, yeah, and I didn't
I
know what.
I got a general Bible question for you, Amy.
Let me say first, for first-time listeners, Amy Sleverson is a Christian entrepreneur, and she is always coming up with new Christian home good products inspired by Bonanza episodes. But, Mutt, you've got a question about the Bible.
Well, yeah. Now, they talk about Ada in this like she's a sinner, but they keep using the word actor. Is it in the Bible that actors are bad?
Well, that is a very good question. But in this episode, I think Ada, she represents the Jewish people from the Good Samaritan, and she's left on the side of the road to die as a sinner. But then two other, it's the rule of three, but this time they turn it to the rule of four. And the one, so one, two, and then the kicker. This was one, two, three. Three people tried to save her, and then she went with the drunk, who's a Samaritan, and he saves her in the end. Because that's not what, you don't see that coming. You think, oh, he's mean and awful. Right. But it turns out he's the only one
who's saved. Wow.
Oh, isn't that something? Oh, man, oh, man. So this is all about the Good Samaritan.
Yeah. You don't know episode. Who's going to help you out. It might be a really mean drunk guy.
That's interesting. I wasn't sure I took that away from this episode, but we're going to go through it scene by scene, and we're going to, because she's got a wonderful interpretation there. But we do have a guest. Before we meet our guest, though, I just want to mention to you guys a funny, funny thing that happened to me. I got an email from Earwolf telling me they were saying, well, this is the last episode of your Bananas for Bananas.
Well, that can't be.
I wrote them back and said, I think you're confused. They must have sent it to the wrong person. I feel sorry for whoever that is. But as everybody knows, we got 421 more episodes of this podcast to go after this one. And it's just funny to get the wrong email. It was made out to Dalton Wilcox and all that.
I'll add that as a charm for my Tragedy Charm Bracelet series.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
What's good. It going to look
It'll
like?
It'll look like a cyanide pill you can take. I assume that's what, yeah, or maybe a microphone.
Oh, yeah. A microphone, yeah. Yeah, but we ain't going nowheres, so I assume that must have been a mistake. By the way, I don't know if I need to say it, but I am technically dead, having faked my own death after the explosion at the ranch. I'm just throwing that out there, just telling you, like, we're going to keep doing this, even though I am dead.
Well, you look pretty good, I gotta say.
Hey, all right, I'll take it. Okay, let's meet our guest for this episode. We're going to be talking about season one, episode 10, and our guest today is a person by the name of Sugar Cane. Did I get that right?
You got it right, baby.
Right.
Absolutely, you did.
Sugar Cane, now I understand you're a tailor of some kind. You're a suit maker. You're a clothing designer. What's the story?
That's right, Daddy. I made all of these suits in this episode. I made all the suits for the show.
Oh, my God. I didn't even know that. Wow. They didn't tell me.
One of them.
They just told me you was a tailor. Wow.
I tell you, I used to buy suits from, you know, Nudie Suits, Nudie Cone, who used to make them fine cowboy suits all them fellas would wear. And then I gave it up and went to Sugar Cane because I saw so many suits on Bonanza. This guy, no shit, made me a suit out of abalone.
Let me tell you something about Nudie Cone, okay? Let me tell you something about him. And I'm not a gossip.
Okay.
But to call yourself Nudie and sleep in a full outfit, take a shower in trunks... That tells you something about.
Are you trying to tell me that Nudie Cone was a never nude?
Never nude.
A never nude.
That's a fetish.
Is it a fetish?
Yeah. Oh, yes, it was. Yes, it was, Daddy.
It still is.
I thought it kind of seems to me like the opposite of a fetish, but it's a fetish, huh? But to never be nude?
Never want to see your own naked body? The beauty that was made by the universe?
Come on, Daddy.
That's a fetish, Daddy.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, just to be clear to the listeners, I'm not your father.
Oh, no, not at all, Daddy.
Confused. Okay.
Not at all, Daddy. Okay. I have a father, Daddy.
Okay. All right, son. Well, I'm not your father. Now.
Well, why'd you call him son?
Huh?
Well, I don't... Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah, I'm a little weirded out by that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm a little weirded out by that, Daddy.
I'm sorry. Oh, it's just reflexive. Anytime somebody calls me daddy, I want to call him son. I got to hold myself back from saying it.
This goes right into the episode of the father-son relationships, and they're all dating the same woman.
This is a really complicated episode. It's really weird things happen in this episode, but I'm amazed here that we got the actual goddamn Taylor. Did you do all 14 seasons of Bonanza, Sugar Cane?
All 14, baby-o.
Oh, absolutely. Man. Did you make all the clothes or just the nice fancy suits?
Just the suits, baby cakes. Only the suits. Oh, I made them all.
Wait,
I made
now, them all are you his hand. Father?
No, Daddy. I have my own children.
It's a boy. Finally. Finally. Oh, my boy, I do love you.
No, Mud, I don't think you're his father either. I think he just throws that word around, quite frankly. I don't
That's
think
horrible
you're his
news.
Oh, man.
I lost a son today.
Yeah, but you didn't have him all that long.
Listen, yes. Baby-O, I am
Daddy?
An artistic person. I am a suit maker. Okay, you got
yeah.
it? You dig? You dig that with a shovel?
I'll dig it with whatever you tell me to dig it with. I don't care. Yeah. What were
everyone's measurements?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, baby cakes. I will let you know, Daddy-O. So, the first guy.
She's your daddy.
Wait a minute.
Man, it's getting real confusing. All right. First, well, I'm sure, Amy, you want to mainly know about Michael Landon, this little
yes.
dude. Because he's got.
He is the living second coming of Christ. Mm-hmm. And. I don't know whether that would be interesting to find out whether he had genitalia.
Oh yeah, that would be interesting.
What was the length of his trousers from the crotch?
He did, baby oil. I'll tell you right now, from his belt line to his crotch was 14 inches. I'm not gossiping. I'm not a gossip. I don't tell secrets, baby cakes.
That's the length of a dish towel.
Yeah, and now that's not necessarily a reflection on his member. That's just basically his navel to the full length of his loin, his groin, just that flat sort of no man's land.
Oh, yes, his penis was only 4 inches.
Oh, whoa. So he had a real long lower torso, but a real short googly.
Absolutely, baby lotion. He had from his navel to his nape.
Down there to the nape. Now, in those days, too, they used to wear their pants up fairly high.
Yes.
Yeah. People, right up there all the way on the hip bone there, way up. So he had a long pelvis, is what you're telling us.
Right. Very long pelvis, baby food. He, it was
baby
from
food.
The navel to the nape, from now, the cradle to the grave.
I believe Michael Landon had something like 9 children, so I guess 4 inches will do it.
It's not about the size of the boat.
Yeah.
It's about how many babies you can make with your penis.
Now, is that from the Bible?
I don't know. I haven't read it. Is that from the Bible?
Probably, originally.
Well, a lot of things can be construed from the Bible. For example, the Noah's Ark. You know, that's a big boat.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And, but it wasn't big enough really but it was just big enough to put all the animals on it so we could make a whole new world. So was it big enough? Maybe it was.
I see.
Right.
So maybe you go, that was a small boat, but what if it wasn't too small? It was just big enough because all they needed.
Right.
So that's what my husband says. He says, that's all you need.
Yeah, he doesn't want you complaining about that. Hell no.
But I do have a new line of products.
Yep.
They're called jams, jellies, and unguents. There's the jam of Jacob. It smells like lavender, but it's really chemicals.
There ain't no real lavender in there.
Because Jacob was a liar and a pretender. And then... Jelly of Jericho, and that's because Jericho fell down, it burned, and it's good for burning sensations. And then the unguent of unction, and that's just for the taint.
It's a particular unguent. How'd you say it? Unguent?
Unguent of unction. It's a particular blessing, and it's all around family genital care.
Oh, it's a taint paint.
Taint paint.
Christian family genital care. That's what this is?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, as a man who rides a horse, I'll take any kind of creams or ointments for my taint. right there. I'd be more than happy to apply it because Lord knows it's all, I'm just fully calloused all the way around.
Well, and all of these can be used for fist fights and gunshot wounds as well.
Now, would Michael Landon have to buy like 2 servings where everyone else would need 1 because he's got so much real estate down there?
Michael Landon's taint.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Yeah, let's finally get to this.
4 square inches.
Oh, 4 square inches. Oh,
square. Yes.
His penis was the same length of his taint.
Because he was holy.
Isn't that something?
That's the sign of being holy. Like the opposite of a 666 on your head is a 4 square inch taint.
Man.
With a cross on it.
What?
A cross on it. Oh. Yes. He was marked.
Huh. What a strange place for the Lord to mark him. But I never
thought to check my own taint to see if I'm holy.
Yeah, I know. I could have all manner of religious symbols down there. I never have looked.
I have one of those coexist symbols that's got all the religious icons on it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, good for you.
That's strange.
You ever hear anybody getting a tattoo there? I never have.
Yeah, sugar cane, you ever seen that in all your work?
Listen here, baby food. I have seen things that you would never imagine. And I'm not a gossip. I'm not a gossip at all. But I was making a suit for someone by the name of David Carradine.
Oh, man. Kung Fu himself.
Kung Fu himself.
Yeah.
And on his taint, tattooed, was a boot print.
Really?
A full size?
Full size 11 and a half boot print. I don't tell people's business. I don't gossip about people. I don't tell their private things. So, really. Listen,
man.
Baby Bjorn, I'm telling you.
You must be some kind of, because I've been fitted for suits before and I've never had my taint inspected. Like,
no?
No. In fact, I've never been asked to remove my underwears or have my penis measured. So you are a full service.
I can guarantee that you've never had a suit that fit you correctly.
Oh, damn. I'm sure you're right. I'm sure you're right. Goddamn. Hey, what was it like trying to fit Dan Blocker as Hoss? That must have been a challenge. He's so big. He's huge.
You just cover him in with pillowcases.
And you're absolutely right. I had to take every piece of fabric I had in my house to make a suit for him.
Oh,
full
man.
Full pillowcases. I had to rip them apart. And wrapped it. And let me tell you something. I don't gossip.
No, I know. We know that about you.
Yeah, that's cool.
I don't say things
that's
not
what you're like.
Yeah.
No. Never.
Dan Blocker's taint.
Oh, man.
I was trying to put a pillowcase over it. I needed a queen size pillow.
Well, it's not the biggest of them, is it? Thank goodness. It didn't have to go all the way to California King.
or a body pillow.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah. I noticed Dan Blocker in this episode gets in a kind of suit which he never has before, so that must have been hell to have to costume him twice in this.
He gets all gussied up.
Yeah. He really gussied up, and I was under the gun. Let me just tell you that, baby. I was under the gun for that episode. They were rushing me like a Russian.
Did the production staff use guns?
Oh. They did. Everybody was method on this.
You're kidding me. So they're all walking around with the loaded guns on their holsters saying to the costume department, hurry up, get a new tie in here.
Exactly, Daddy.
Waving pistols around.
All the way from the Edith Head building. I had to run.
From the Edith Head building.
Full sprint from the Edith Head building over to another lot.
Wait, the Edith Head building's on a different studio, and you went, oh, my God.
Where's that one? They got one over there. Where's that? Paramount or some shit?
NBC Universal.
Oh, okay.
You guys, you don't understand. Entertainment is mysterious.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, oh, I know. So your headquarters was in the Edith Head building at NBC Universal, and you had to run back and forth from there to where they was shooting the Bonanza, which I believe was a different lot.
Yes.
Okay, wow. This is the real behind-the-scenes stuff. We're finding out real shit. This is unbelievable. Yeah. I can't believe I didn't even have any idea we was going to hear from the actual guy that made the suits for Banana. All I told me was his name is Sugar Cane. He makes suits. My mind is blown. Unbelievable. Well, all right. Well, we're going to be coming to you throughout this for little tidbits of information. And it doesn't all have to be about people's tanks, but if it is, it can. It can be. But I'd love to hear. Okay. I know you're not. Yeah, you know, absolutely not. I like that.
Heard that most television and movie production is done inside a public bus.
I don't tell people's business. I can never tell you how movies are made, but let me tell you this.
You.
It's the 212, the one that runs at La Brea.
You're telling me that some of our favorite TV shows and movies are shot on a public bus going to La Brea?
Just hold. Answer me this. Was Speed shot on a bus that then was shot on a bus?
Believe it or not, it was not.
What?
None of that bus you saw was a bus.
That was not a bus.
That was not a bus.
God damn, they make magic.
Everybody loves Raymond. You can tell the way the jokes land. It stops.
That was
on
a bus.
And you
that
hear
was a bus.
A really slow bus, right?
Oh.
Extremely slow.
So from time to time, that Everybody Loves Raymond will stop and people will get on and other people will get off and then it moves on to its next destination. Man, oh man, I had no idea. Now I'm going to go back and watch it for sure. Try to see if I can feel the stops.
You
didn't hear from me.
Don't.
Yeah, I should not go back and rewatch
it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right.
I mean, it's pretty good, but...
I don't know. I've only seen it but the once or twice. So I forget it then. I won't go back. Well, okay. Hey, are you still in the game, Sugar Cane? You must be long in the tooth. Are you still out there making suits for TV shows?
I am long in the tooth and still making suits. I still make them. I still wrap people in silks from all over the world. Cloths, pillowcases, everything I can find. I'm a master. I'm still measuring tanks. I'm still in the game. I'm still in the game, baby Bjorn.
Man.
Mr. Kane.
Yes?
Do you make suits for women dressed as men?
Absolutely.
Oh.
Well, we kind of know he does because you clothed that woman in the play as a soldier.
Yes. All of my suits are non-binary.
Oh. Wow. Oh, interesting. Wow. That's very interesting. Well, can you tell us about any productions? What's the last thing you worked on? I know we're in the middle of this. Everybody's got this virus, and we can't go. There ain't no TVs or movies being made, evidently, except for if you want to. Apparently, there's a soap opera going where they'll bring in your wife, and you can kiss her instead of the actress. That's something I heard. So, yeah, that's the truth.
What?
I'm telling you, on The Bold and the Beautiful, they says people need this soap opera. We're going back into production, and every time one actor needs to kiss another actor, they say stop, and they bring in their wife or their husband.
Oh, that's what Kirk Cameron does for real.
Is that what he does?
In anything he has to kiss a woman in, he turns his wife, and they shoot it from behind, and he only kisses his wife. And that's a
see
true
that?
Story.
He's yeah. an innovator.
Yeah.
So that's what my husband calls the cutting board. My wife.
Oh, yeah. You made a cutting board with a hole in it.
Yes. And... yes, for when I'm out of town, but I'm always home.
Oh, okay. Sounds like he still has a relationship with it, even though you haven't left town. But
she's funnier than I am.
Oh, man. She's sorry funny. To hear that. Sorry to hear that. But say, Sugar Cane, what's the last thing you worked on? You
the last thing I worked on was actually a Kirk Cameron film.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Or Hallmark Channel. Because listen, I'm not a gossip, but they don't believe in the quarantine. They don't believe in coronavirus. They're still filming because they feel like they have to get these movies out to spread the message.
Yeah.
So I need money. I can't turn down work. And so I made myself a hazmat suit. So I took a bunch of hazmat suits and I fashioned them into a 3-piece suit.
Whoa.
It looks so cool. It does not cover any orifice on my body. So any droplets will get in.
This must be the best looking hazmat suit, though.
Oh, man. It is fantastic. It is fantastic, Daddy-O. I love it so much. And that's the last thing that I worked on was a Kirk Cameron production.
Uh-huh.
And it was called Christmas time in Beirut.
In Beirut?
Yes. Whoa. And it's where he goes to Beirut and tries to convert everybody to Christianity.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's such a good idea.
Yeah. They make 365 Christmas movies a year, a Hallmark channel. Isn't that correct?
Yes, this one is set to air in August.
Okay.
Yeah, they have a yearly special there where they do the 365 days of Christmas, and it as soon as it's over, it starts again the next day.
I love it. Yeah. I can't get enough Christmas for me.
Me either.
By the way, there is a Bonanza Christmas album. Mutt and I talked about it on one of these bonus episodes. You'd all check that out. Christmas at the Ponderosa, I believe they called it. And I'll just put that on in the middle of a hot day in the middle of summer, goddamn. All right. Well, what do you say, folks? Should we get to talking about this episode of Bonanza? How long have we been at it? But typically we end up taking a break before we get into it for reals. I guess we'll do that. Should we all take a break?
Sure.
All right. Well, this is it. Mutt Taylor's here. Amy Slavenson's here. Sugar Cane going to be telling us all about the suits and behind-the-scenes excitement of this episode. We'll be right back after a break.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
All right, we're back, and we're going to jump right into season 1, episode 10 of Bonanza, The Magnificent Ada. This episode, by the way, is about the real life. Once again, there's a real life person that the episode is based around. Her name was Ada Menken, and she toured with a show that was a hippo drama. She had a popular hippo drama, which... what a hippo drama is it's a play in which a live horse comes onto the stage at some point.
Okay, well, now I'd question the name right away.
Well, that's what I says. Because the only thing I can think is that maybe hippopotamuses were more popular. And so they would advertise it as a hippo drama and then get people in the door. And then it's actually a horse. I don't know. That's the only thing I can come up with.
Oh, yeah. Bait and switch.
Old bait and switch.
The horse was the best part.
Yeah. Man, I love that.
And then he left.
Yeah, he left. If you used to tell me that any play is at some point a horse is going to come out in this play, I'd see a lot more plays. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, well, and a naked woman who's not in any way naked, but is naked enough to fool a hoss.
Yeah, that's right. And apparently that was what this show was. She would get onto a horse, and her character was naked, but she was really in just a pair of long johns. And I guess if you were sitting far enough back, you'd go, holy crap, a naked lady on a horse.
Wow.
Or if you're sitting real close up and you're as dumb as Hoss.
So we now know that he's never seen a naked woman, ever.
Oh, so as far as he knows, the flesh of a naked woman might be made of flannel.
Yeah, and have absolutely no other just no nipples or nothing to speak of, just pure Barbie doll.
Yeah, maybe. Wow. He had a real good seat. But anyways, I want to tell you a few things about this episode. Here's a few. This episode was directed by a guy named Christian Nyby, who is credited as the director of The Thing from Another World. Mm-hmm. But nobody believes he really directed it because it's too good. That's the truth. They think Howard Hawks must have really directed it because nothing else Christian Nyby ever did ever came close to that.
Well, did they not see this episode?
I know. This episode is fantastic. And then another thing about this episode is that there's a character named John C. Regan is played by Don McGowan, who played the goddamn creature from the Black Lagoon in The Creature Walks Among Us in 1956. Yes, and that movie, by the way, the Creature Walks Among Us, the plot of this Creature of the Black Lagoon movie is that they try to capture the creature and they accidentally set him on fire. And then they bring him to a hospital on land and they're treating him for his burns. And in the meantime, he sheds his gills and develops human lungs because he's been on land so long, he's turning into a man. Oh. And so they say, well, if he's going to be a man, we better put some clothes on him. And I'll show you a picture of the creature from the Black Lagoon becoming a man and putting on clothes. And this is that Don McGowan as the creature. So here he is. There he is.
Oh, my God. Look at that. Now, Sugar Cane, did you do the costumes for that?
I don't like to speak on my work very often, but I did do this.
You made that suit?
I made that suit. We made that suit out of 31 potato sacks.
It fits like a glove.
And let me tell you something about the creature from the Black Lagoon's taint. Not to be confused with McGowan's taint.
Okay.
The actual creature from the Black Lagoon. Because I told them, I went into the makeup department as they were making the prosthetics for the creature for the Black Lagoon. And I said, this is by no means my job. I should not be telling you this, but I'm going to tell you. I'm going to give you some notes on this.
Okay.
If he's a creature and he's lived in a black lagoon for this long, his taint is enormous.
You think it must have just swelled up or something like that in the water?
Because that's the first part of your body that swells when you've been in water for a long time.
I didn't know that.
That's what makes sense.
Yes.
Wow.
From the navel to the taint.
The navel to the taint.
Yeah.
I said, this has to be bigger. It's not realistic. I refuse to watch this film.
Good. Well, yeah. I can't believe it. And you were involved because this movie backs up what I've been saying for a long time. Because you know, I run into creatures from the Black Lagoon all the time. Just today, you know, I'm staying here at the Holiday, and I went to get my truck out this morning, and they charged me for a whole extra day of parking because I'd been there a few hours past the 24 hours. The fella that told me that turns out was a creature from the Black Lagoon. Now, people say to me all the time, that's what people say to me all the time. Well, did he look like a creature from? And no, the answer is no. And now this movie backs me up by saying if a creature from the Black Lagoon is on land long enough, he will eventually morph into more of a man.
How did you fight the creature? Did you pray?
I could have tried praying, but I just stabbed him. Next time I'll try praying. I didn't even think about it. I just stabbed him in the heart. And we're going to have to edit that out because I know Earwolf doesn't want me talking about monster killing on this show. And I've been real good about it. Real good. But, so
there
anyway.
Are two things we don't do on the show. That's talk about monsters and gossip.
We never gossip on this show.
Never talk about anybody's lives personally.
Let me tell you something. You guys pick the right. If you don't gossip on this show, you pick the right guest because I don't gossip. I don't tell anything. I am a locked and sealed trunk.
Okay. Let's get started at scene by scene. The first scene of this episode, we're in the middle of a forest and a man wearing plaid is hanging a poster to advertise a show.
Beautiful suit.
Yeah, beautiful.
Beautiful suit.
It's the first one I made for the episode.
Derwood Watkins is the character's name, and wearing a beautiful suit. And he is advertising this show on a tree in the middle of a forest on somebody's private land.
Where theoretically no one but the landowners will pass.
Yep. Now, that's some direct marketing because there's four people maximum that'll ever see it if they happen to come to that part of the forest that's on their land.
And I was looking at the map real carefully for the first time in the opening credits. The Ponderosa is enormous.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's absolutely
all of North Lake Tahoe.
Because it's theirs.
That's
it's
right.
Theirs.
That's
they own
right.
It.
They own it. They yeah, let's not get too deep into that.
No, but think of how many other plays they've missed from bills posted on trees that they haven't even ridden by yet.
Good point. Yeah, at one point, Ben Cartwright says, oh, it's a man-sized spread, the Ponderosa. So to your point, it is huge.
That's a 14-inch taint right there.
Yep.
So okay, they, baby cakes.
Yeah. So, as we learned in our last episode of this show, the Cartwright boys can make a bullet go wherever they want it to. And so they start shooting at Durwood Watkins, but just for fun, just for comical fun. And they shoot his hat off and whatnot. They're just funning him. And then he offers them the best seats in the house for the show he's advertising, and they act like they don't want him. But then they take a look at this poster, and there's a naked girl on a horse, and they all, I guess, get the same idea. Well, I'm going to go see that show.
Yeah, right? And Hoss gets a little bit more of an idea where he carefully folds that away and tucks it into his lapel for later use.
Oh, he hung on to the poster,
oh,
huh?
Yeah.
I didn't catch
do
that.
The sin of owning.
I actually had to sew in a extra pocket into his pants.
Oh, man.
For him to fit that poster folded up in. Because a folded poster is a lot of fabric, especially one that's supposed to be in the 1800s.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
A lot of fabric. It was made on cheesecloth. Oh. And
that his whole outfit was made of cheesecloth?
No, just the poster.
Oh, just the poster was. Yes. Okay.
His outfit was made of polyester.
Oh, really?
Really? Wow. Yes.
I don't usually talk about my fabrics, but
oh.
Well, you can't tell it's made of polyester, man. That good job. So, yep. And then I guess we went to the opening credits where the map, which Mutt took a good look at this time, burns. The map burns up. And I believe that's the 10th time they've done it. This is the 10th episode to feature the burning map. And then we see Little Joe and Hoss are all gussied up and they're sneaking out to go see the show. Because they figure they don't want Ben Cartwright or their older brother Adam to know that they are going to see this randy piece of theater with a naked girl in it. Right? Yeah. This is, if Pa catches us at a show like this, he'll skin us alive, they say.
But then it seems like Pa is very female positive or always knows what a real woman is. So it's a mixed message. His father's giving him a mixed message. Oh,
well, God. It is interesting how little those boys know their father and their brother. They figure, man, the two of them would be extremely disapproving of us going to this show.
Yeah, it's almost as if every episode is written episode by episode, which the authors have never watched a previous episode before, and the morality of the Cartwrights seems to change on a dime.
It sure does. It sure does. So that was real weird. But they go. What happens? Oh yeah, there's a one-armed man in a saloon, and this is a strange scene. He wants his friend, who can bend a horseshoe and is as drunk as any man could ever be, to fight a former professional champion fighter in the bar for money, I guess.
Yeah,
something like that.
Sledge.
Sledge is the drunkard, and
it's called the B plot.
That's the B. Yeah, that's the B. And this one-armed man. Hey, spill a little secret here, Sugar Cane. It looks to me like, and I don't want to. You know, I might be wrong, but that he might have had a second arm hidden in his shirt.
Might have even had a third. It's so bulgy.
Did they find a fellow with only one arm, or did it look like what it looked like there where he's
got... I am not supposed to say this.
Okay.
Oh, but that man did not have a left arm.
Whoa. You're kidding
me. But he did have three right arms. All that moved at the same time, like as if a fake spider with the string.
Oh my God. Wowee. So you can see. Go ahead.
A tripod.
So you could see they were like, hey, we found an actor that only that doesn't have a left arm. And then they didn't realize they was getting a guy that had three right arms. So that makes sense when you look at that actor. They're strapping two right arms onto his butt to hide them.
Yes. I had to sew in three long arm pockets into the front of the shirt, and he crossed his arms in front of him as if he were hiding himself.
What a pain in the neck.
And when you think that they're shooting this all on a public bus.
Exactly. The 212.
The 212. Unbelievable.
Hey, I got a quick question, Sugar King. When you met that man and Sue went to shake his hand, what the fuck did you do?
I slapped all three of them down like two, two, two.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Nice. And did they make different tones when you slapped?
Yes. Two, two, two.
Beautiful. There's a little funny, weird little scene here where Joe and Hoss pass up the opportunity to go watch the fight in the saloon to go see the show. I don't know why. Why'd they have that scene? What did that tell us? Where they go, hey, you want to go in there and watch a fight? No, let's go on to the show like we was planning to. Can't figure it. Well, so then they see the show, and the show is there's knights. I don't know where it takes place or when, but this Otta Mankin is dressed up as a knight. I guess she plays a man through the whole show. And at some point, she is, they take off her clothes and tie her to a horse. So is that what happens?
Seems like it to me. I mean, I'll be damned, that gal playing a fella. That's like a little theater history here. Sarah Bernhardt used to play Hamlet, and she had a wooden leg, I think. Or do I got that wrong? Is it Sandra Bernhardt? What's the one that follows Madonna around, was in that great movie Hudson Hawk?
Oh, yeah, I believe.
Sandra Bernhardt?
A-Rod, I think, was the one.
Yeah, A-Rod. That's right. The baseball player?
I think so. Here, let's watch a little scene from this play here. I think this is the moment with the horse. Here. Yeah, there they go. There she is in her long johns.
Wow.
Hey. He sure was a girl, wasn't he? He sure was.
Hoss is so excited. They tired of this horse. Hoss is getting real mad. So this guy says this is going to strike terror throughout Poland. And sure enough, that horse takes off like a fucking rocket.
Yeah, I don't think they intended it to go that far. And Hoss really believes this is real.
And he's not the only one. All of these miners and folks are like, they're storming the stage, and all of these actors who are carrying spears aim them at the audience.
Wow, you must have had it in there.
I had to sew all of those spears together.
What? Really? Them's cloth spears?
The spears was considered part of the costume for them?
So what I had to do was soak the fabric in starch and let it sit out until it hardened. And it was sharp enough to stab audience members.
Wow.
You know, that horse kept going for 48 miles.
You're kidding me.
All the way back to the Edith Head building.
All the way back to Edith Head. Well, I'm not surprised. It wants to go home.
I might have some work for you. And then I'm designing a series of puppets for girls to act. So it's only it's acting jobs for girls. So it's going to be smaller puppets, smaller hands, and they only are for playing parts that girls could never be. Like the president, or like a tall guy,
right,
or a penis, or God.
Oh, so you've got puppets that is God, a penis, the president, and a tall person. Those are the puppets.
Yes.
And these are specifically for girls to put on their hand and play.
To learn to act.
To learn to act.
But you take on the role that you could never have in real life.
I see. Okay. Yeah. I love that idea. So people can find that on Lot's Daughters.
It's on my website, lotsdaughters.com, where you yourself can become a sales rep, a prophet for the prophet.
Oh, I love it. Prophet for the prophet.
I normally don't take work, but I will do anything for you, Daddy. I will sew all the puppets you need, Daddy.
Oh, I've just gained a commissionary.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Ding, 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 ding.
Normally, you'll send that design off to China, and they'll have it done for you in like 12 hours.
Yeah.
12 hours, but it'll take 6 weeks to ship.
Yeah, see that?
Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Like, why can't people run faster?
Right.
To get here, I assume they're running to get here.
Come on. Hey, speaking of China and Chinese people, that's what we're supposed to call them, I guess, Chinese people. There's a number of them in this episode, quite a few, and they're all sort of they're all in the service class. They'll all just kind of bring a lobster to you or tell you your horse is ready.
Yeah, right? They all have exactly the same costumes.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Were those made by you, Sugar King?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Did you make the costumes for the men in the service industry in the Chinese?
Unfortunately, I did not make those costumes.
No.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
They were, you know, I don't get into politics.
Mm. Yeah.
But those men were forced to find the costumes on their own. This was not a very good production.
BYOW, bring your own wardrobe. That is not fair.
Wow. Was that a policy only for the Chinese people?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
This was not a good set.
Was that hair real or was that a wig? Are those little stringy long ponytails there?
I did sew those.
Oh, okay.
Yes, those were all yarn.
Really?
Isn't that something? Because I would think they might hand that over to the hair department, but it was costumes, huh?
Well, Man. Here's the thing. I went into the hair department. And I said, I am not a person who tells somebody else how to do their job.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to do this because you guys can't do it well.
Wow. You laid down the law.
I don't have much hubris, but I am the best
in
the world.
That's the thing. When you know, and you don't, there's no other way to describe it except your awesome greatness.
You're absolutely right, Daddy Baby.
Now that's confusing.
What's that?
Daddy baby.
Daddy baby is confusing.
Yeah. How is it, baby daddy?
Okay, that's just as confusing.
Baby daddy. I think a baby daddy could be a daddy of a baby, but a daddy baby.
That's a daddy who looks like a baby, like in that Roger Rabbit cartoon.
Right. Yeah. Adult babies. I've heard of them. I'm very concerned about them.
Oh, baby bosses.
Yeah, right.
Ooh, yeah.
No, thank you. No, thank you. Okay, so we're getting back to our episode here. Now, after the show, they go back to that saloon, and as tradition holds, the star of the play comes into the saloon and throws her garter to a bunch of drunkards, and somebody gets to catch it.
Yeah.
And, now, lo and behold, all three of the Cartwright boys, because Ben was at the show too, Adam was at the show, so all three of the boys are there, and in walks Ben Cartwright, their own father, and not only was he at the show, but he's old friends with Otto Mankin. This is the second time in these 10 episodes that it turns out Ben has a long-standing relationship with a disreputable woman. First time it was a woman who ran a brothel, second time it's an actress who rides around on a horse in a pair of long johns, and the boys had no idea. They're like, what the heck is our dad doing here? He's got a strange...
All four Cartwrights are outed as perverts in this.
Yeah, man.
Going to theaters.
Perverts. Yeah. But, and then we find out they go up to her fancy hotel. Oh, the fellow that catches the garter is this prize fighter, and it seems like there's some friction between Otta and this prize fighter, John C. Regan. And up to her fancy room where, man oh man, Ben Cartwright has ordered lobster and pheasant, and he's had champagne flown in from Boston, all for Otta Mankin. And then... because they have just a little bit of a conversation about John Regan, who caught the garter, he decides he's leaving. He doesn't get a taste of any of this food. The whole night is ruined. And she didn't say, I still love him or anything like that. She just said, yeah, that guy was there. It was, I mean, he came off very sensitive.
He got a hair trigger, I think, for sensitivity.
Yeah.
He's got PTSD because all those wives died.
I guess that's right. And then this hotel room seems to have a secret entrance because he walks out the front door And John C. Regan is coming through the secret entrance and is standing behind her. He's been there the whole time. And I guess we learned that he has previously been paid by her to leave her alone. But now here he is.
Yeah, she hired him to leave her alone.
Yeah, he had to fill out a W-9 and leave her alone for a while, but not too long. Then what happens? Then we get, Haas is bringing a tree over to Adam. I guess it's the next day. He's just carrying a tree. And little Joe rides up with all this urgency, and he says, Pa didn't come home last night. They're all worried because they think Pa might have got some action from that Otto Mencken.
Oh, yeah. He's probably lousy with syphilis by this point.
Exactly. They're all concerned. And then they've also heard, well, Hop Sing had to bring a set of clothes into Virginia City for Pa to change into in the morning. And Otto's going to come home with them for dinner, right?
Now, Sugarcane, did Hop Sing not only have to get his own costume, but also get those clothes because they're a prop for him?
Yes. He had to buy those. He had to find them somewhere.
Oh, wow.
The set was not PC.
It was not PC. Oh, I'm not surprised. Well, good for them. Yeah, you don't need that PC garbage. Anyways, so Haas, okay, now, next thing we see is Otto comes over for dinner to the Ponderosa, and now the boys are all dressed up like three little Colonel Sanderses. They're all wearing the same outfit. Tell us a little bit about that. No, that's a compliment, Colonel Sanders.
How dare you, Daddy Baby? I cannot believe you just said that about my work.
Oh, no. I think they look fantastic.
He meant Mark Twain's.
Yeah.
Ah, that's more like it.
Yeah, there's a shot where all three of them are in the shot together, and they're all wearing the same shirt and the same tie, and it looks like you just want at least one of them to be holding a bucket of chicken.
I thought they was in the Mormon Tabernacle Choir or some shit like that.
Yeah, they got all dressed up.
Yeah, what's the story with that, Sugarcane? Why'd you do that?
Here is what happened. Oh, no, please.
Oh, they're sweet daddy babies. That's what they are.
They are sweet daddy babies, yes.
That's a daddy baby.
Yes, oh, okay.
These are all daddy babies.
I see.
They're there to support their daddy. They're babies.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Well, now, at some point in this dinner, which is going along just fine, Adam says, yeah, what we do here in the Ponderosa is we protect what's ours from outsiders. And he really stares down his dad's girlfriend. And she's like, oh, I get it. And then they tell her, you know, you go out, sit in the carriage all by yourself, and we're going to talk to our dad. And then they say to their dad, we don't want you to date her because she's an actress or something. That's the beef, right?
Yeah.
And he says, don't worry about me. And he leaves. Okay. But they decide they're going to do something about it. And this is when Adam goes to her dressing room. And what's he there for, we understand? He is there to say, leave our father alone.
And to create a new definition of consent.
Yes. So let's watch that scene because...
finally get it defined.
If his mission was... his mission is... This is a classic example of mission creep. But let's see, because he's going there to tell her to leave our dad alone.
He is a mission creep.
I guess so.
I think you know why I'm here.
Yes, I think I do. Don't you think your father is a wise enough man to take care of himself?
Look, Ada, you have your way of life. We have ours.
Do you also speak for your brothers?
In this case, yes.
Tell me, Adam. When did you first decide I was a bad woman? When you saw me with your father, or when you saw me on the stage? What are you afraid of, Adam?
What makes you think I'm afraid?
He ain't never afraid.
You came here to say something to me. Why don't you say it?
He's gonna say it.
Words are necessary.
What?
Oh!
You know what
He's grabbed her by the shoulders plants a big kiss on her, and she's... I don't know how you would describe her participation. She's staring at him in wonderment.
Well, now at least we understand each other.
But what? Do they?
Boy, that is a one-way understanding of understanding.
There wasn't a yes in there. I didn't hear a yes anywhere.
Nope, there sure wasn't a yes. I mean, I was so confused by that scene. because he's there to tell her, leave our father alone. And then at what point did he decide he's going to kiss her? What's he doing?
Fun fact, that kiss was so wet, they both slobbered all over that robe. Because back then people smoked so many cigarettes and did chewing tobacco and things of that nature, burned a hole right through it.
What? Oh, she did chewing tobacco?
She did.
Oh, man.
That's why her voice is so deep.
Oh, yes. Right. Yeah.
Wow. Yep. That's a crazy scene. And then so Adam walks out of there and little Joe is like, well, I guess I better go in there. He says, I'm going to go in there and talk her out of being with our dad. And he takes the same approach. He goes in there like a big old flirt, bringing in all this food and wine for the purpose of telling her, leave our dad alone. But he's putting all the moves on.
Right. Yeah, he decides to get a shave and a new suit. I think he's going in there ready to poon down.
It was premeditated.
Uh-huh. Yeah, right. That's right.
I think this is a complicated psychodrama. Their father is hanging out with a woman, and they're all worried about it because they think she's disreputable, and they go to do something about it.
When in fact, they are the sex offenders.
Yeah, it is a complicated psychodrama, or just written scene to scene on any different day, not caring about what came the day before. It's one of the two, and I think you're right, though.
Hey, it's one of the two.
Yeah. Maybe they did it as a Mad Libs.
I guess so. But then this one goes totally in a different direction because she starts putting the moves on him and getting him all flustered and he's nervous.
Yeah.
And then she pushes him off the couch.
Yeah, it's clear as day what's going on here. And that is, I do not know.
He went in there to put the moves on her and then she starts going, oh yeah, we're going to do it. And then he's like, get me the hell out of here.
It's the I Love Lucy syndrome where, you know, she'd try to scare off a suitor by coming on strong, but it would backfire on her. You know what I mean?
No. The only guy who's going to help you in the end is the violent alcoholic.
Yeah.
Spoiler.
Spoiler. Well, so, okay. So then what happens?
Why doesn't Hoss doesn't get a run at her?
I know.
You know, that's interesting. I don't like to give away Hollywood secrets, but I will tell you this.
Yeah.
All of the suits that the boys were wearing, I had to sew in what they called poon down holes. Yeah.
What? Now what's that?
And because just like you just said, they all went in to look like they were going in to poon down. Well, yeah. That was in the original script. I think it was cut for time, but they had me sew in poon down holes in all of the pants of the suits.
Wow!
And they told me, I said, "All right, well, like let's get to Hoss's suit." And they secretly said to me, "Don't do it for Hoss."
You're kidding me?
Oh no!
He's wearing chastity trousers, basically. Yep.
They weren't going to let Hoss poon down.
They don't want him to replicate. They don't want him to have a kid and have it be another Hoss.
Oh, yeah. How does a poon down hole work? Is it just like a fly?
Sort of like a fly. It's opposite of the fly, depending on which way your penis leans.
Oh, I see.
Well, it's cross-mounted? What do you mean? Yeah, or is it round like a birdhouse?
It's round like a birdhouse, but it can be spread out through Velcro.
Oh.
Wow, man, you're an innovator.
So it's like an eyelid that sticks.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, that's an analogy that I understand.
The poon down eyelid.
Yeah, I wish you would have just said that. I mean, because that's something everybody could, you know, identify with.
Yeah, stick an eyelid. Sure. Yeah. Well, then, so there's a knock on the door, and everybody assumes it must be Ben coming to check on Otta, but instead it's that prize fighter, Regan, and he comes in. He wants to beat up Joe or something like that, and she hands him some jewels to get out of town. And that's when Ben shows up with a gun on his hip and proposes marriage in a kind of a strange way. His manner of proposal is she says, well, it's not like Ben's going to marry me. And then he, from across the room, goes, I wouldn't be so sure about that.
Yeah, and then she says, don't interfere, Ben. And he says, I'll interfere because I'm asking you to marry me, meaning that gives him the right. All you have to do is ask a woman to marry her, and you can do anything you want to her.
I guess that's right.
That's one of my dinner plates. It says,
You asked, I said yes because I had to. And it says it in script, and it's a big dinner plate, and so your whole family can enjoy like a roast turkey.
Beautiful. Or a pheasant and some lobster.
Yeah, a pheasant that hasn't even been plucked. Did you get a look at that thing?
I didn't notice. It's covered in feathers?
Well, its wings were spread and on the plate. And yeah.
I had to sew the wings back onto the already cooked pheasant.
Oh, God. Oh.
I guess that's how they ate it in those days.
They tossed them to the food.
Yeah, that's strange. It's very strange. But so, okay, yeah, it gives him a stake in her affairs because he says, I'm going to marry you. And then what happens? I don't remember how that scene ends, but I guess Regan just leaves. And then there's a weird scene where little Joe comes into the bar and he punches Hoss for no reason whatsoever. And then he's getting on his horse, but here comes Regan, who punches him from behind and then just kicks the crap out of him. Right?
Yeah. Now, you said this was method. So was they all really fighting on set there, Sugar Cane?
They were all fighting. Everyone was really fighting. But they had this thing where they would never. There were so many times that I would yell from the side. It all had to be cut out for time. But there were so many times where I would just yell, shoot him. You have a gun. You can't fight him. Shoot him. And they would go, we can't shoot someone who doesn't have a gun. We can't shoot an unarmed man. We can't shoot an unarmed man. And I go, shoot his ass. You can't beat him up.
There's a strange code on this show where both parties have to agree whether this is going to be a fist fight or a gun fight.
Yeah, but and if it's a fist fight, you can just hit him from behind. Sorry. Yeah.
And you can get shot in the hand at any time.
Or the wrist, and it might move.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And you better believe if you're wearing a hat, that might get shot right off.
Or holding up a hanky. And never mind that there's a little piece of fishing line attached to it. Don't worry about that.
I didn't see that.
Oh, you didn't?
That's a scene. Durwood gets his hanky shot out of his hand.
Yeah, well, in the beginning, that plaid suited fella.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, that's funny. Well, he is a showman. He is an agent for a show, so I guess it makes sense that he would have tied a fishing line to his hanky to be whipped away when a gun fires. Yeah. I buy that. Well, okay, now what happens? So, there's a scene where Ben explains his proposal to Otta, and here's where things become more clear, because Otta basically spills the beans that Adam planted a kiss on her. Pretty much, and Ben's response is, okay, neat. And then, basically, the way they talk about it is they say, I can't marry you, Ben, because your boys are adults, and if I marry you, they're just going to constantly be kissing on me. Seems to be basically the problem.
Yeah, and Ben Cartwright has a real problem with the boxer wanting her, but minute it's one of his sons, well, ain't that cute? Ha, let's have a laugh. Too bad.
Yeah.
You can't be safe anywhere unless it's with the guy who's violent and angry.
Yeah. She cannot marry Ben because she will be constantly getting kissed when she doesn't expect it by his adult sons. Well, that's a real pickle. So they just figured their love is never gonna happen. All right, but now they find out that Joe has been beaten bad by Regan, and they storm into the saloon, and Ben Cartwright wants to shoot him and gives him a gun to make it a fair fight, but Regan won't pick up the gun, so, I guess it has to be a fist fight. And Ben's going to do it, but then Adam restrains him so that Hoss can do it.
Which proves that Ben probably wouldn't have been too good in that fight if he was so easily restrained by his own son.
That's a good point. He's restrained for a long time. And then we have just a hell of a brawl between this champion prize fighter and the human monster that is Hoss Cartwright. And, man, this goes on for 1 minute and a half with no music, and it is just Hoss swinging these gigantic haymaker knockout punches that Regan can see coming from across the plains, and he ducks them, and then he hits Hoss. He punches Hoss again and again and again and again. And then finally, I'll show you the end of the fight, because after 1 minute and a half of being pummeled, somebody has a good idea.
It took a long time to get to this suggestion, but let's see it. Here we go.
Don't try to fight him. Wrestle him.
Oh.
There he goes. He grabs him in a bear hug and just squeezes the life out of him. That's it. Now, what is that in his shirt? Did you notice
it's a fanny pack or something.
Back that up a little bit. Oh, wait. I backed it up way too far. We're going to see. I don't see it there.
Yeah.
Now I see it. There's something in Hoss's. Well, maybe it wasn't. Way back. There it is.
Yeah, there it is.
Well, sir, after about a minute and a half of being pummeled near to death, finally Adam says, hey, don't try and fight him like a boxer. Wrestle him. And then Hoss literally just grabs him and squeezes him like a sea monster would squeeze a ship.
Yeah. Is the key to Hoss winning a fight just conceptual? Like, all you have to, I mean, then why not just say, don't try to fight him, kill him.
Right.
Or eat him.
Yeah. Yeah, chow down on him.
He can't get enough to eat. He eats so much.
Yeah, he's hungry.
He should have ate him. Sugarcane, what was that in the back? We see a square or something in the back of a Hoss's shirt there at the end of
that.
That
was a pool floaty.
Oh, he had a. Why did he have a pool floaty under his shirt?
Wow. Because as soon as this scene was over, he was so hot and sweaty, he said, I am going to go run and jump into Toluca Lake.
Whoa. Wow. But he ain't much of a swimmer, I guess.
No.
And he knew that.
He needed the extra support.
Okay. So during the scene, he put on a pool floaty knowing that when the scene was done, he was going to go swimming.
Yep. He knew exactly that he was going to go run and jump into Toluca Lake, but he's going to stay. You know, that lake is only, 2 feet deep.
Yeah, that's not a big lake, that Toluca Lake. Well, okay, so finally, Adam wins that fight by crushing his opponent. And
Hoss does.
Oh, I'm sorry, Hoss, thank you.
That's okay.
Yep. And then what happens is she comes running in, Ada comes running in. She sees this injured, belligerent, horrible drunk who every time we see him, he's either punching somebody or downing a bottle of whiskey. And she grabs him and cradles his head and says, oh, you're going to be all right. You're going to be all right. And that's when all the Cartwrights just kind of go, oh, well, we all four of us basically tried to get in her pants, but she's staying with that guy. What can you do? He's got some line. What do they say there? She could have any man she wants, as I think you found out, says Ben to his son. And then he says to Hoss, there are many kinds of love, Hoss, as many kinds as there are women.
Whoa.
Beautiful. Beautiful
three
line.
Of which you've died.
At least three.
I have to go get the front door.
Oh, all okay. Right. Amy Sleeperson's going to go get her, answer the front door.
Now, do you think that Ada decided to stay with the fighter because he's basically her employee and she has some kind of HR responsibility, like she can't just fire him?
Oh, I guess
he could probably sue.
Right, yeah.
He could sue for discrimination or so, or just like, oh, because he's got a problem. Here's his grounds to sue.
Yeah.
You're firing me because I am an alcoholic. Can't do that, right?
Right.
I don't know. Right. Maybe you can. Well, so there you go. That's how that one ends up. It seems like almost that once again, we almost have a woman who's going to join life at the Ponderosa, comes real close to getting a woman as a regular member of this show, but nope, last minute she decides to stay with this drunk.
Yeah, and numerous times in this episode they talk about how much the presence of a woman is needed on the Ponderosa, and then let it go. It's just as quickly as that.
Yeah, I believe there's a moment where she says about Hop Sing, who serves them some food, she says, he's delightful, and Ben Cartwright says, he needs the discipline of a woman. We all do. Something
that's
like
right.
That.
Discipline us, Amy.
I know. I could tell you guys what to do. You guys keep having great ideas and making me do them. That's what I'd like to have some guidance.
All right. Oh, well. So, once again, it doesn't work out for the Cartwrights. They are losers at love, but not because of the woman dying, as usually happens, but because she stays with a violent drunk. As has happened before, I believe. I believe that did happen once before, right?
Yeah.
Oh, well, hey, in real life, Otto Mencken died of some kind of disease in Paris at the age of 33.
Whoa.
And she really was involved with this prize fighter, but he had a different name, John C. something else. And he was he really lived, and he lost every fight in reality.
Now, she wasn't also that character in the movie Tombstone.
Oh, I don't know.
We'll find out. Look it up.
All right. Well, that's our episode. Unfortunately, we only have 421 episodes left to go of this podcast. Very sad. But hey, Sugar Cane, do you have anything you want to promote? Anything you want to tell us about you're up to?
You know, I would just say I don't like to promote this. I'm not a self-promoter, promotionary person.
Never.
But if I were to be, I would say, follow your hearts, listen to your dreams, come to me when you want to scream.
Wait, whoa, that was out of left field. I did not expect that.
All right, I'm going to come to Sugar Cane when I want to scream. You sound like just the perfect guy to get a suit made from. I'm going to do that.
Please come. Please do.
All right, where are you, by the way?
I'm located on the 212 bus at the La Brea and Sunset stop. Right across from the Taco Cell Gavi line. And please come naked.
Right.
Don't wear clothes until I have to measure your tank.
Okay. All right. So there's going to be a lot of people showing up naked at Sunset and La Brea at that bus stop on the bus. Okay. Well, enjoy it. Mutt Taylor, anything you want to tell us about you got going on?
No, just to say that I'm looking forward to the next 420 some episodes of this podcast, and it's been a real treat so far. I don't often use the word love lightly, but I love you people.
Oh, man, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
What a sweet thing to say there, Mutt. Yeah. All right. Amy Sleverson, what you got? What you going to tell us about?
I have so many new tragedy charms. You can get a charm bracelet with the following new tragedies in case this has happened in your life. It's for menopause, and it's a tunic length, like cover up t-shirt that you get at Chico's. One's baby left in a hot car. So it's like a baby in a hot car when you leave your baby and you forget, oh no, it's too hot for a baby. Or sometimes babies get in the back of your car and they're so quiet.
You mean like a rat gets into the walls of your house and dies?
Right. A baby crawls in your hot car.
People driving around. Yeah, you have no idea you have a baby in your car, and then you park it in the hot sun.
It happens 6 times a year in the United States. And then just a little bottle, and it's when you run out of Thousand Island. That was a special one, because that's how I feel. I always feel really. And then this one it's a wrapped gift, and it represents when you get someone a Secret Santa gift, and like you get them a wine opener, and it turns out they're an AA.
Oh man,
Jesus, yeah,
yeah, that's a real. Now wait, when you have, because you got, we're talking about, it's a charm bracelet with tragedy charms to remember your tragedies by. Do they all have to be your tragedy? You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay, so what you're saying is that in this situation where you accidentally get an alcoholic something to help them drink, that's your tragedy.
Well, it certainly is embarrassing.
Yes, I see. Okay.
Has there anybody ever ordered every one of them who's just had the worst life that you could possibly imagine?
Well, some people are just more supportive. I mean, I don't ask for essays or proof or anything that's notarized.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Like, oh, the death certificate of an infant. Or I don't ask for that because they're only $9.99.
The death certificates or the charms? Wait, what?
No, the charm is $9.99.
Oh, right.
How much does it cost to get a death certificate for an infant?
Oh, I'll get you one of those.
Yeah? All right.
But that kind of thing, I'm not gonna ask you to provide. I'm just going to trust.
Right.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Something bad happened.
Yeah. Right, clearly. Okay, so that's great. There's so many wonderful products. Man, your product line is just burgeoning over there. And so get yourself a tragedy charm to remember the time you ran out of Thousand Island dressing. Yes?
Book of Revelations pillows. Lake of Fire. Is there a pillow for this month?
Oh, okay.
Yes.
What's that? Is it a picture or is it text? What's
no, on? It's text. It's about the Lake of Fire. And first you got to hear that we put out the first 11 pillows. It's mostly about trumpets and trumpets blowing and different people showing up. But the good stuff gets into the later pillows.
Oh, okay.
Who needs that many pillows? I mean, I don't understand how at this point they're still buying pillows.
You got to have 21 pillows on a bed.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
And you put them in a special arrangement so God knows that you're ready for the apocalypse.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Hey, by the way, last time on this show, we talked about how Olivia Newton-John's ex-boyfriend faked his own death to get out of paying $8,000 in child support. And then was rediscovered after 12 years. But I looked into it a little bit more, and it's up for dispute whether they found him, actually. They've got some grainy pictures of somebody that kind of looks like him.
Oh, but, so it's a developing story.
It is a developing story.
I hope within the next...
He's a Sasquatch. He's a cheap Sasquatch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's right. Well, all right. That'll just about do it. And I'm going to, I'll make a motion that we close this episode of Bananas for Bonanza.
Seconded, reluctantly.
The motion is reluctantly seconded. Oh, those in favor?
I abstain.
You're going to abstain this time. Okay. We have one vote in favor of closing it.
Can I vote if I second it?
I think so.
Okay.
I propose the motion. I voted for it. So you say aye. So two ayes and, Sugar
I
Cane,
remove
you have a vote.
My abstention.
What? Oh, yeah. Two eyes and one abstention. And Sugar Cane, do you have a vote as to whether we should close this episode?
There's a stain on my jacket.
Whoa.
I vote daddy baby.
Okay. So we've got two eyes and abstention and a daddy baby. I think the eyes carry the motion. Just barely this time. It was a squeaker. And therefore, I shall gavel to a close this episode of Bananas for Bonanza. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We had a real good time. Thank you, Sugar Cane.
Thank you for having me.
Folks, we will see you next time and all 420 times after that. So long!
Bananas for Bonanza is brought to you by Andy Daly with Maria Bamford and Matt Gorley. Theme song by Matt Gorley with The Journeyman, which in this case are Mark McConville, Daniel Michikoff, and Wade Ryan. Special thanks to our gang on the ground, Josh Richmond and Shannon Locke. Bananas for Bonanza is produced by Ryan Connor and Matt Gorley, and executive produced by Colin Anderson and Chris Beck. We'll see you next time.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.